Hey, it's Brett.
And Nathan.
Here to remind you about...
Patreon!
Are you going to do that the whole time?
Yes!
Listen, guys, Patreon's only a couple bucks a month, and we'd really appreciate your support over there. Of course, you don't have to. The podcast is always free to listen to, but if you want to unlock exclusive bonus video content, you got to do it through Patreon.
There's all kinds of things that you're going to unlock. You get the video versions of the podcast, as well as videos of us riding around in cars and yelling at people and screaming dadisms. You also get a bevy of dad jokes, like a whole boatload of them.
There's a bunch of malarkey over there.
Yeah, some hullabaloo to enjoy.
That's enough of this promo. Now on with today's episode. You know,
you gotta hear yourself.
Doo, 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 doo.
La 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 la.
It's like back in the day when your mom would turn on the camcorder and point it at you, and you'd like make a silly face or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just felt the need to.
You have to like do that fisheye effect, like a Hoobastank video.
As you walk past it,
uh-huh.
You do that like weird lean in thing.
Yep.
Like. Wah, wah, wah.
I think that's just a sign of like a child actor in the making. Just camera.
Oh my god!
Oh my, oh gee! She just pointed that lens at me. I have to do something about this.
Oh, you want me to, here. Ready? There, we're officially off and
wham.
Running.
Wham! That's so official.
It's gonna be the sound of the start of every episode now.
Just a smack.
Oh my gosh. So, I guess we should tell people that we're putting things on Patreon.
Yes.
Because there's been some requests to see video versions of you and I yucking it up in here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're putting all the video stuff and extra, there's other bonus content as well. We're doing that all on Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com and find us on there, then you will find all the bonus content that your heart desires.
All those sweet little extra goodies.
Yeah, there's some different tiers and stuff like that. And, you know, it's. I think that people are enjoying what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
which is cool.
Yes.
And we love that you guys love it. And we spend time doing this. And our time is worth something. And, you know, you don't have to pay for it because you can listen on the radio or to the podcast for free anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want video or other bonus content or merchandise or stickers or whatever else, you can get all that on Patreon.
Yeah, and all of those other tiers, they're basically just things that we thought of that bring us closer to the people that we're listening to.
Totally.
And that are listening to us.
Speaking of tears, when Nathan tells his remarkably heartfelt stories, you can watch me cry.
Yes, exactly.
Rather than me. But now...
Where we connect on a deeply emotional level, you can see it. You don't have to just hear it.
I'm going to be all self-conscious now because I could hide before. I was like, well, they can't see me as long as I just stay quiet.
Yeah, you're relatively anonymous.
But now...
Oh, you're in trouble now.
Oh, it's all just out there, baby.
This is just going to be an exercise in emotional availability. It's going to be great for our future acting endeavors.
Oh, great. My wife's going to love this.
Yeah.
He needs practice at that anyway.
That's kind of a strong suit. I feel like that is one of those things, a muscle that does not hurt to develop when relating to your wife.
Oh,
sometimes
man.
You just got to sit there and cry with them, you know?
Yeah, but I got this Irish blood coursing through my veins, which means
it just makes
that
it
I push everything way down
suppress.
Deep.
Yeah.
Way down. I push it down, just push it right down in there.
Like some strawberry preserves. Just sealed up, locked down, got that safety pop lid on there.
Are you sure you didn't work at Knott's Berry Farm?
I'm not sure. I might have spent a summer or two there.
They invented the boysenberry, you know.
Boysenberries are delicious and good for growing bodies.
What the heck is a boysenberry?
I don't know. All I know is from that caterpillar in Bug's Life popping out of the thing and going, boysenberry. And
really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think it's a Bug's Life.
Is it a Bug's Life? Because that would be Disney. Would they be advertising Knott's Berry Farm in their own movie? Maybe they did.
Maybe they accidentally did. Maybe that's why Knott's Berry Farm is on the map.
Maybe. Maybe.
You're welcome, Knott's Berry Farm.
Wouldn't it be ironic if Disney is the thing that put Knott's Berry Farm on the map?
You're one of their main theme park competitors in Southern California.
Interesting. Yeah. I've never been to Knott's Berry Farm.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, it's actually pretty legit.
Really?
Have you never done Knott's Scary Farm?
No.
See, that's the best of both worlds. They've got the like Halloween creature walk around thing pretty locked down. Because I've done that, and I've done the Universal, like their
they do like a haunted hayride or something, or
yeah, with it's the same thing. You walk around the park, and there's just like people in costumes with chainsaws and stuff, and they chase you around.
I don't like it.
The first time is rough, just to get like calibrated, get used to the fact that there's just like clowns chasing you with a chainsaw.
I don't
like,
know, man. It's hard for me to wrap my head around. I'm going to pay you money so that you can try to make me pee myself.
I think if you think about it the other way, it's probably for a lot of like 17-year-olds who are on a date.
Sure.
And it's more about like, because they very blatantly target the girls.
Oh, because
right. They're just easier to scare and they get a better reaction out of it and everything. But it makes the girls like want to like cling to the guy because protect
sure.
Me. And then the guy's like, oh yeah, I'm going to take this opportunity to defend you from people who literally are legally not allowed to touch you, but they're going to make it seem like they're about to touch you.
It should
you.
Be the slogan for all those places, like not Scary Farm, indulging your hero complex.
Yes, exactly. Just one big ego stroke.
My hero.
Yes, it's brilliant.
Oh my God! Well, their managers are probably told to do that because hopefully she'll do the high pitched scream, and they want to probably hear those
right.
screams all over the
oh,
park.
Oh yeah, you hear it way across the park. Yeah. Yeah. Oh no, it's absolutely a whole technique that they have, and I've tried. I've even like being a guy, I've tried going into it different ways, kind of on purpose, like being very blasé about it and not really reacting to anything, but also like really hamming it up and acting just freaked out about everything and like always looking over my shoulder and stuff. And it's amazing. They do a really good job of picking up on that because I got hounded when I was like really trying to make it look like I was getting freaked out. So every single person who went by me would try something on me.
Right.
So it really does kind of depend on your attitude. So if you just go in, use your acting ability and just go in with that mentality of I'm fine. This is
dude,
fine.
No, it freaks me out. That's what I'm saying.
Use your Irish.
I'm not
keep
a horror.
Keep it inside. Can it like some preserves.
Push it down.
Just
do
suppress.
What my, do what my mom and dad have been teaching me my whole life.
Yeah.
Push it down. No, I get scared. I don't like horror movies. Mm. I'm not into that stuff. And I take the kids out for Halloween now, you know, of course, trick or treating and everything.
Yeah, sure.
And even just walking on down the mean streets of Burbank, California, with the kids, it freaks me. Like, some of the costumes coming the other way freak me out.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like people behind a mask, I think.
That's true, because you never know. Like, most of the time it's good-natured, but then you just never know when there's, like, that one guy who, like, is that a costume knife? Or is that a knife that came out of your butcher block?
No,
at home?
Just no. Stop it. The fact that you're even saying that freaks me out.
It's the reality of the world we live in, Brett.
Some dude's gonna come up with what I think is a fake chainsaw, but it might be real, and my brain's gonna start doing that because I'm constantly making a movie in my head.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That I'm the star of.
Yep. Of course.
Well, if I'm the star of it, I guess I wouldn't die. Maybe I'm the third friend.
Right,
in the movie in my head.
Yeah, the comic relief who has to die a grisly death.
Yeah, no, uh-uh. I don't want to be the Jamie Kennedy of my own movie.
No one wants to be the Jamie Kennedy of their life.
Did he live? He lived through Scream, though, didn't he?
I don't know. I never saw Scream. I honestly, I really don't watch horror movies either. I just don't enjoy them. London loves them.
Really?
She grew up on them. And a lot of that's because of her dad. So her dad loves them. They watch them together. I just don't find that much enjoyment in them. Like, I'm in the middle ground where I don't get really freaked out. Like, I don't, like, jump. I don't, you know, have the big reactions you're supposed to get from a horror movie. But I'm also just sitting there going, like, I don't enjoy this.
I think that's what it is for me, too. It's not that I'm necessarily scared or think that if I watch a ghost movie, there will all of a sudden be a ghost in my room or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's a little bit of just like, I can see through it, having been on so many sets and things. And
yes,
I don't
want
to sound pretentious, but like, I can kind of see through it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I just sort of go, what's the point of this?
Yeah.
I'd rather be moved in a different emotional way than them trying to make me jump out of my seat.
Right. That's actually an excellent point. And I've actually talked about this with London because she was the stunt double for Stephanie Scott on Insidious 3.
Uh-huh.
And so she had to do a bunch of stuff for for her, but she was also this, like, sort of, like, dream rendition of her character where, like, her face was missing and she was, like, on all of her limbs were, like, amputated and she was, like, crawling down a hallway.
Of course she was.
Yeah.
So she did every horror movie ever.
Right.
The crab walk.
Yes, exactly. And she did this. It was an amazing job, but she was telling me, you know, their process for it. Like, she showed me a picture of the prosthetic that they put on her face and there was just, like, pinholes right where the eyes were. And they had her go down the hallway backwards.
Right.
To make it seem really unnatural when they played it in reverse where it was like she was going forwards.
Gotcha.
And stuff like that started to kind of get in my head, and I think, like you said, we've sort of seen behind the curtain a little bit, so now I look at stuff in a horror movie and go like, oh, that was a really interesting makeup job,
right?
Or
right.
Oh, I see what they did with that right. shot, or like, oh wow, that was an interesting effect, I wonder how they did that, and that like really takes me out of the play,
yeah,
rather than just taking the story for what it is. So like you said, I think watching something that's more of an emotional impact, like watching an actor go through it on camera, is more enjoyable to me,
yeah,
because even though it honestly does make it kind of hard being an actor watching a movie, and especially now that I've kind of done my foray into directing too, I'm thinking about that aspect of it too. I can't really watch a movie for its face value.
Mm-hmm.
I never really get sucked into it, mm-hmm. but it's fun to study at the same time. Wait, I enjoy it in a different way.
Sure.
And I guess because horror movies don't really have, I feel like you have to really understand horror movies to really get behind the mindset and the mentality of making it. Maybe that's why I don't enjoy it.
I think for me also, I would much rather, I don't know if this is in the genre of horror or not, but a movie like Get Out,
yes,
I enjoy a lot.
Yep.
But to me, it's a little bit more of like a thriller.
Yeah, it was definitely thriller suspense.
Yeah, it has moments that make you kind of jump.
Right.
But that's fine. I like that. Mm-hmm. And I like the mystery
right.
of it. More than the just all out horror-ness.
Right. It wasn't just
some
hack
of the other
and slash
movies.
Being chased. It was right. that creepy, like, what's going on? The
right.
pace is like weirdly slow.
Right.
You know, it's not just everyone running and screaming the whole time.
I was also thinking that other professions, like doctors, lawyers, whatever, you know, a doctor doesn't want to be asked a medical question, you know, in life. Normally, because
right.
it's like, dude, I'm not working
right
now.
I'm
off duty, right?
Pay me $500 and then I will answer your question.
I think the next time, like, friends ask if I want to go to a movie, I'll just say, hey, come on, no, I'm off duty. I don't want to. Does a doctor want to go sit at the hospital when he's off duty? No.
Right. Yeah.
And neither do I.
Yeah. This is not my playground. This is my workspace.
Yeah. I don't want to have to go be forced to watch other people do the job that I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a surgeon going and sitting in and watching a surgery
yeah,
when he doesn't have to be there.
Critiquing another surgeon's work.
Right.
Who wants to do that?
Now, sometimes you have to be there to see that. Maybe he's learning a new technique,
yes.
you know,
the special suture.
Yeah, totally.
Yes.
But he doesn't have to go to all the surgeries.
No.
I think that's how it is for us.
I think so. But at least, you know, at least it's a tax deduction, your movie tickets.
That's
you know?
True.
So technically, like, that's like Netflix. That's R&D, baby.
Yeah.
I'm learning. I'm
yeah.
studying. So I
yeah.
guess if you go into it thinking, like, I'm going to go in and try and learn something.
Right.
Then, you know, it's not, well, it's still work. It's work.
Let's be honest. It's
Let's
all
just, stop
work.
Going to movies.
It's all work.
Let's, yeah. Everything's, yeah.
What are you going to do when it comes to the children with horror movies?
We're kind of on polar opposite sides, Lennon and I. So I don't think I'm going to stop them. I think it depends because there's so many different, like, divisions of horror. There's, like, slasher. There's, like,
gore.
Demonic. Yeah, there's gore. There's, like, all the different levels.
Oh, yeah, the demonic stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the Exorcist.
I feel like that kind of stuff, Lennon and I kind of are on the same page. We're not going to mess around with that stuff. Because I just feel like there's, I don't know, there's something in that, and I'm not gonna mess with it.
Yeah.
And stuff always happens on those sets.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's that's probably where we'd kind of draw the line, at least until they're way older.
Right. Because
I think that's one of those super impressionable things too that you can carry with you. You know, like when I was like 14, I watched one of those stupid like Ghost Hunter shows.
Oh yeah.
And watching it now, I'm like, oh my God, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Like, I see what they're doing to make it seem like this is happening. But when I was 14, as soon as I turned off the TV, like, out of the corner of my eye, I was, like, always, like, seeing stuff, you know? So I think there's just, like, a limit to what the brain can handle and process and should be able to.
And now you're the shepherd of that young little brain.
Right, exactly. So I don't know. I think it's going to be maybe a little bit.
Do you guys have a lot of, I mean, what kind of, I don't know how to even ask this question. Like, what kind of parents are you guys? What's your philosophy? We don't have to get, like, you don't have to answer the whole thing, you know, because I don't know if anyone even really knows.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, what kind of, like, do you guys have a lot of conversations about that? Like, these are the kinds of parents that we want to be?
Yeah, I guess it's never, I don't think we've ever used the word philosophy, but I guess, but in hindsight, just talk, like, we have so many conversations about, like, the limits that we want to set and the kind of people that we want our kids to be. So I get those are
like
those
what?
Questions. So I think we are right now, especially when Rosie's heading into this like early toddler phase and really testing the limits and finding her boundaries and everything, I think we're really trying hard to enforce boundaries that matter, but also give her a chance to explore and learn and make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, the mistakes are very simple now, but they get to be a lot bigger the older they get. But I do think that there's a lot of importance in letting your kids mess up.
Oh, yeah.
And because that's just the best way to learn.
I wonder, though, if you're going to – because I agree. I share that philosophy with you. But I wonder if we're going to be in the minority going forward. I hope not, because there's like a lot of, you know, there's all these terms now. You have helicopter parents, mm-hmm. and then you have bulldozer parents.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I definitely don't fall into either one of those categories, or at least I hope not.
Yeah.
Maybe I do. I don't know. I guess people who watch you do it would have to kind of tell you. No.
Yeah.
Like, no, Brett.
You're a Sikorsky.
You're a helicopter parent.
Just hanging right. You were the Huey from hell. Just.
Oh,
I hear Platoon.
Here he comes.
Platoon's just happening right
here
now.
Here he comes. Oh, Mr. Davern's
Your
coming in.
Children are Willem Dafoe just getting blasted.
Oh, no.
Brett just flying over.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want to be one of those. And I don't think I am, because I like that when they make mistakes, sort of. If they're not, you know, life altering,
right? Yeah,
life, you know, I don't want him to poke his eye out,
right?
But if, you know, if he falls off of the arm of the couch when I told him to quit standing on it mm-hmm. three times, well, he won't stand on the arm of the couch anymore.
Right.
You know, hopefully he doesn't break his ankle, which
right.
I don't think he's going to.
Yeah.
It's a carpeted floor; he'll be fine.
Yeah.
But he might not like the feeling of falling, and so therefore he won't do it again.
Right. Yeah.
You
that's
know?
That's the hard part, especially with the age that Rosie is too, because she definitely understands tone of voice and saying no, mm-hmm. don't do that. But she now, like, sometimes she thinks it's a game too, and she's not at the place with her linguistics that we can actually sit her down and look her in the eye and say, listen to me.
And explain your philosophy.
Yeah. I am not going to be a helicopter parent,
right.
but I also don't want you to permanently hurt yourself. You know, so she's not at that place where we can rationalize and explain why we're saying no about something.
Right.
And sometimes she'll just like look at us and just grin and just keep going. And it's infuriating right now, because she just doesn't really fully understand the gravity of what's going on.
Mm.
So it's a really challenging phase where you can't fully communicate other than just saying no, because if they don't see the problem, then they're just going to be like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll just keep doing my thing. So, but like you said, it's also finding that line of like, here's the boundary, but also I need to be willing and able to step in and kind of predict how badly this might go so that it doesn't really, really hurt you. In
sure.
semi-permanent way.
We've had we talk a lot, the missus and I, about like what kind of parents we want to be, and especially like before they came along, we had a lot of conversations about it, and I think that we've been able to stick to most of it. But the majority of our conversations centered around, okay, we're having kids, or at least the first one,
uh-huh.
and so what kind of parents do we want to be? And I think what we generally landed on was, we're having children, we're going to become parents, but we don't want being parents to become our life. And I'm not sure if that's how that sounds when I say it out loud. But what I mean by that is, like, it's important for us to still have our friends and to still, you know, get a sitter every once in a while and mm-hmm. go see our friends or have our friends over to the house. Or, you know, if the, bedtime is important and the routine of that is important and the time of that is consistent. But, you know, if people are over at the house a little bit later and they end up going to bed later, like, that's cool too, because we're mom and dad, but we're also still ourselves.
Right.
And so, you know, if we, whatever, are on a road trip or something, we don't exactly get back before nap time, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to freak out about it.
Yeah.
Because they'll be fine. People have been doing this for a millennia.
Right.
You know, and they will survive. Uh-huh. And also, they will then be hopefully easygoing as well.
Right, yeah. And that was, I think, the hard part for us, too, is figuring out how do we go about keeping a regimen. Because all the books that we read said, like, kids crave consistency.
Sure.
You know, and they want that structure. They want routine. But that can get to be a problem if you're in a situation where you're forced out of that routine.
Sure.
You know, I'd rather have an easygoing kid that's maybe a little bit harder to predict than one who is a rock star as long as you do everything exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that it gets a little bit easier, I guess, as time goes on and they get a little bit older. Especially when they start, like, throwing off naps, where it's just like, you only take the one,
yeah,
you know, and from there, the rest of the day is ours, or, you know, but I think that was something that we really talked about and wanted to do in the beginning, but as soon as that child came out, for a while, all that just went right out the window. it was just like, okay, if we diverge from the plan any iota, it's over.
Yeah.
It is just, the day is gone, and we are in so much trouble.
So wait, what do you mean? So when she came along, you had the idea to do all these, like, sort of have, like, a strict schedule, but then when she came along, you abandoned the schedule?
No, or
you
the other way around.
Oh, okay.
We wanted it to just be like, yeah, you know, just make it where, like, she'll just sleep wherever.
Oh, I see. Okay, you know, I'm sorry. We'll I got make confused. It
work. Yeah, no,
okay.
I probably didn't explain that very well.
No, it's all right.
But it got.
I'm a dummy. Don't worry. So you kind of were like, oh, let's just be a little easygoing, but then you realized quickly that you need the schedule.
Right, and I think the books probably enforced that a lot because we just figured, like, baby sleep. And then as long as you feed them,
sure,
they're fine.
Sure.
But I don't know if it was also just because Rosie was very high maintenance early on. She was super high needs, didn't sleep very well, she had incredible FOMO. So it was like if we were out anywhere, it was impossible to get her to sleep.
Really?
Even if she was incredibly overtired.
Huh.
Once she got past the, like, 2-month newborn phase, if we were out, we had to, like, get her in the car seat and swing her by hand, like, find a stable place out at the mall and swing her to sleep, because if we just put her in the car seat and strolled along, she would not go down.
Really?
She was so into everything around her and so enamored with everything that she just couldn't close her eyes.
Huh.
Even though she was, like, screaming because she was so tired. So I think we did kind of have to pull back a little bit mm-hmm. on that. And do stuff that worked. And she got a lot better with it. Now that she's only down to one nap anyway, it's usually not too bad.
Yeah.
But there's also been times where we've had to completely throw it out the window where she just won't even take a nap at all. Those are the crazy days. When your child is up for 12 hours, you're not even 2-year-old, and you're just trying to, like, make it through that day and give them enough snacks to keep them happy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were on a road trip, and it was like we were going to be in the car for 3 hours. And we're like, she's got to sleep at some point in there. She's going to get tired. We left right at nap time. So we planned it out perfectly. We were so confident in ourselves. And then it all just completely fell apart because mm-hmm. she would not go to sleep because she was too busy looking out the window and eating snacks and playing with her toys and looking in, like, the rearview mirror at us, you know. So,
stop being cute and go to sleep.
I know. We kept putting, like, the cover over the car seat, and she'd, like, lift it up and, like, play peekaboo with it and do her little, like, ha-ha, here I am face. We're like, well, we can't enforce this. You're too darn cute.
Yeah.
There's just no way to do it. So, yeah, I think we planned on being really loosey-goosey, and I think she specifically needed a little bit more structure.
Sure.
And she's great now. It's a lot better now. But I think every baby's different. Mm-hmm. And I hope, like, a lot of people say that the first one is more challenging. The second one is usually a little bit easier. Did you find that was the case for you?
Oh, buddy. Let me tell you
something.
Oh,
no. Don't do this to me.
The first one. First of all, the first one, you read all the books.
Yep.
You take the classes.
Yep.
You have your birth plan. All that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Like for the hospital, you're like telling the nurses, like, now if this scented candle could be lit
4 minutes prior.
Yeah, exactly 4 minutes, though. Like right on 4 minutes from the crowning of the head. Mm-hmm. And then this secondary scented candle needs to be lit once the shoulder is
right.
out.
Right. Then when you put on the birth song.
You get say yes.
Once
yes.
their ears are out
once
and they can hear
it. Once the ears are
out,
she needs to hear Lady Gaga's Born This Way. Yeah. Like right when it happens.
You're on the right track, baby.
you're so crazy like that, right? Mm-hmm. A little bit. At least we were, and a bunch of our friends who have had kids, they were the same way. And then it's with all the philosophy stuff too. It's like, I remember with our boy who's 4 and a half now, but our firstborn, like, I was like, okay, by the time he's, talking in full sentences, he'll be bilingual, and mm-hmm. and he will be already, he'll play a musical instrument, and he'll be, and you have all these plans and all these plans, and it's great because that means you're going to be a good parent because you're thinking ahead. Mm-hmm. But then, like you said, then they are born, and then all that goes out the window, and you're just figuring out a routine the whole time, and you're figuring out your routine, whatever mm-hmm. that is.
Yeah, and it changes as they get to like different
totally.
Phases of life.
Totally.
As soon as you think you've got it figured out.
Totally.
Out the window.
And our boy, he's so cautious, even now at 4 and a half, he's so cautious, he's very thoughtful, he's very sort of quiet, a little bit sometimes, he's shy, if he hears a loud noise, if something loud happens, he will like hide behind me or cover his ears, and like in meeting someone new, like if we're at the mall, and by the way, you get these people at the mall who just come right up to him, who are complete strangers,
uh-huh.
who just come right up to him and go like, aren't you a cutie? And he just like runs and hides and
yeah.
freaks out.
Aww.
Because I think because he was the first one, that's how we were with him a little bit, was
yeah.
a little bit cautious
mm-hmm.
and a little, when he's like toddling around, when he's first walking, you're basically following him with holding bubble
yeah,
wrap.
Halo of hands.
Yes.
Just getting ready to catch
totally.
Him. Yeah.
But then with our second one, the girl, oh, forget it. Like, we didn't read.
You're
any,
on your own.
We
kid.
Didn't read any books. We didn't retake the classes. There were no scented candles.
Yep.
And it's there used to be that commercial, which was like second child or
yes,
first child, all the careful
yeah.
things. Second child, the kid is picking up the pacifier off the floor or whatever.
Right.
That is so true.
Yep.
And so our girl, God love her, but she's crazy. She's crazy because she gets
child.
Away with everything. She, yeah. It's because she was toddling around and we had already been through it. And we know now that she's not going to hurt herself in the way that you think they're going to. And so she's just like has free reign and she's like, but she's, it's so much easier as a parent because
right.
you've already been through all of the fears and all of the whatever. And you've had those allayed by realizing that just because they're standing upright doesn't mean they're going to fall and poke their eye out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. It's yeah. much different with the second one.
Yeah, interesting. I feel like we're already kind of in that second child mentality now with Rosie because she is so crazy all the time. She is the exact opposite of your boy. Like, we could not make her calm down.
Maybe it's girls.
Maybe. I don't know. But I always thought, like, boys are, like, destructive.
I
and
always
they want to get
so
into
too.
Everything. And, but it's just every baby's different.
Maybe they're just not from the beginning.
Right.
Maybe with boys, it's a learned thing.
Yeah,
because
maybe.
He is getting a little more rambunctious the older he gets.
Yeah,
but maybe girls just kind of come out crazy,
yeah.
or not crazy, but wild or whatever
yeah,
the word
maybe.
Is.
But yeah, she's just like such an explorer, and she's incredibly social. Like if I take her to the grocery store, she just waves at everyone as they're walking by, and they'll get right up in her face, and she'll like do her little
that's what our
smile
girl does.
And everything. Yeah, it's so interesting. But that's why I kind of hope that our second one evens that out a little bit because
uh-huh.
Rosie is also – she's not cuddly at all. She on a good day, she'll, like, as she's crawling over your lap, like, stop for a second, like, lay her head down on your leg and then keep going, But she's never been the, like, oh, just hold me and like, huh. I'm just going to sit still and lay with you. Or like, I'm going to take a nap on your shoulder. Like, she's never been that baby.
I can tell you that our girl wasn't that way either. And then she turned two and now she's about two. Well, she's a little over two. She's like, she's like 27 months old.
I was about to say, are you still counting months?
No, but I just did the math quickly. She's like about 27 months old, and she is pretty cuddly only within the last like month or so.
Oh, that's so good to know.
So she, now she'll like snuggle right into your neck and do all the cute things.
Oh, I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, so I think it's coming.
Good.
It's coming.
Because there's been a couple of nights where because we did sleep training and everything, and she's been awesome with that. But the last couple of nights, she has woken up and had some big issue in the middle of the night, and we just can't calm her down. And, you know, she's not at the point where she can say, like, I'm cold, I'm hot, my stomach hurts, my teeth hurt. You know, she's got, like, four teeth coming in right now. So it was like, okay, do we do the ibuprofen? Do we give her food? You know, what's going on? Yeah, what do you do?
No, so, what do you do?
Everything. That's the problem. We have to just blanket it down. So, like, Luna went in there first to try to just calm her down. Because sometimes we also think that she's starting to get a little bit afraid of the dark. So we took her nightlight and, like, put it more centrally in the room so that she could see where the light was
now,
coming
from.
Now,
hold on. I have so many questions.
Okay.
I have so many questions. Wait, slow down. So I just have so many questions right now.
Oh boy. All right, here we go.
Okay, so wait. Afraid of the dark.
Yes.
Let me stop there for a second. What makes you think that she's afraid of the dark? Because this is a question. I think this is an example of a question that my wife and I are constantly talking about, which is, are they actually this thing? Or are you sort of projecting that onto them, and will you end up giving them this complex, which might not exist in the first place? In my household, this exists with spicy food.
Interesting.
Back to afraid of the dark.
Oh, we're going to get to spicy food, though. I got a lot to say about that. Okay, so with the afraid of the dark thing, it started when we were on vacation and we didn't have a nightlight. Because normally we have like this big, it's like a sound machine nightlight thing.
So she has had a nightlight her whole life?
She's always had it her whole life.
Okay.
And so we had that in her room because it's mostly for the white noise. But it's also, it also is a light too. But we didn't have that when we were on vacation. It was too big to pack.
Does it do like the projections of things or is it just like a light?
It's just a light, but you can tap it and it's different. It turns different colors if you want it to. But we just have it on like the white setting just to make it as, you know, and set it to the
dimmest. How much of the kids stuff do you just want for yourself? Because that sounds
it's
so
very
relaxing.
Soothing. Yeah. And like you can play through the sounds and there's like fire or river or waves or like birds chirping. It's really nice.
Wow.
But so she's had that her whole life. But while we were on vacation, there was no light whatsoever in the room and it was pitch black.
Interesting.
Even if your eyes were adjusted to the dark, it was black in there. And she just started like freaking out. And she would calm down if we turned on the light like in the hallway and opened the door a little bit so she could see what was going on.
Right.
Because I think it's also that like, if she has her blanket and loses track of it or her sippy cup but can't find it in the dark, those are like comfort objects for her while she's sleeping. And if she can't find them, she freaks out.
Sure.
So like in this case, Lennon was saying when she went to get her, she was like looking around at the room at where all the shadows were that were being created by the nightlight where it was against objects of furniture. And she was looking around like really freaked out.
Oh, no.
So, and then I guess she kind of stopped doing that once she moved the light out where it was shining kind of more centrally and she could see where the light was coming from. It wasn't
okay.
The shadows everywhere.
Now I see how you arrived at this assumption that she's afraid of the dark.
That was a guess. And we still don't even know if we're necessarily right or not.
I think the clues kind of point to it.
Yeah. But the other thing is, ultimately, it still didn't work. She was still crying and we couldn't figure out what was going on. So Lennon brought her into our room. And she has not, since she was, like, early in breastfeeding, she has not slept in our bed. And we've even tried to, on nights where we knew that she was uncomfortable or if she was really sick, you know, we thought that that would just make her feel better. And we encourage her, like, say, hey, come lay down. We're right here. Like, have a pillow, have a blanket. And she won't do it. She wants her bed, and that's it, which is probably an asset, all things considered. But it could be great for, like, those crisis times. And we tried that first. We were like, hey, come lay down. Like, we know you're tired. Like, just this one night, it's okay. And she wouldn't do it. But then we turned on the light in the bathroom so that she could see what was going on. And we started giving her a little bit of, like, a protein bar. And she instantly calm down.
Huh.
We also gave her some ibuprofen too, so it might have started working at that point. But she only took a couple bites of it and then just started like spitting it out. So she wasn't that hungry.
So she's like gnawing on something, maybe felt good on the teeth.
Maybe. But then like if it was like hunger or two, maybe she just needed like a little bit, or we turned the light on.
Right.
And that like calmed her down and she could see her surroundings, because it was dark in our room too, because we don't have like a nightlight or anything.
Right. You don't have a nightlight?
Well, I do, but only when I get scared.
Not anymore?
Yeah. It's got a
Did
little
Did you
fishy
sleep
on
with
it.
A nightlight when you were a kid?
I think so, but there was like a street light right outside my window, okay. So it kind of like hit the blinds. And
I'm trying to remember if I did or not. I don't remember one. So I guess no. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I never remember having any attachment to like leave the light on or like leave the door open or anything.
Yeah, me neither.
I never
neither.
Really minded the dark.
No, me neither.
But we were looking it up, and they were saying like at 18 months. It's a phase where they start to become afraid of the dark.
Huh.
And it's part of their like 18-month sleep regression that some babies have.
Interesting.
But ultimately.
See, first kid, you're still looking stuff up.
Oh, yeah. My Google search. If you go into
I'm
my
two
search
kids
history.
In, man.
Yeah. It always just starts with, why does my baby? And then it's just like 500 other questions that I've asked.
Oh.
But the cool thing is what ultimately helped was like I picked her up, scooped her up in my arms, took her in her room, wrapped her up in her blanket. And I just stood next to her crib and just held her, rocked her. And she, like, one of the few times in her life, she, like, laid her head, like, on my shoulder, against my head, and just was completely still. And I was just talking to her, like, trying to do my, like, my very low, like, voice to try to just, like,
oh, come on.
Soothe her down.
You have to give us some of that.
Okay.
You've got to give us some of that right now.
All right. So, basically... You just...
Hold on, I'm going to envision that I'm crying and I can't calm down and you're holding me against your chest.
Brent, hey, it's okay. Shh, I got you. Daddy's getting... This sounds sexual.
No, it's okay, go ahead.
I don't like this anymore.
No, go ahead.
Brent. No, I can't get it out of my head now. Ew! Okay, that's... I
was starting to be very comforted over here.
Were you feeling sleepy?
I was feeling sleepy.
Were you ready to go night-night?
Mostly, I was...
We should go night-night. Brent, let's go night-night. That would be good. Like, hey, let me just... I'm going to put you down in the crib. I'm not going to go anywhere. Okay, I'm just going to put you down. There we go. No, I'm not leaving. Here you go. Here's your blanket. There you go. Rub your face with your blanket. What do you think? Maybe we should go night-night, right? Let's do it. Yeah, there you go. Good. Okay, Daddy loves you very much. Very much. I'm so happy to be your daddy. And I'm going to see you in the morning, okay? Okay, Brent, oh, he's asleep. Night-night, Brent. Daddy loves you.
Dude, not only... I'm not really feeling sleepy, but I'll tell you what I am feeling. Safe and comforted.
Are you?
No, I'm being serious. I'm not joking with you. Your voice completely changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like what I do in auditions when I'm trying to sound sultry. I just convert it to saying daddy a lot, which could work either way, I guess. But yeah, so I, like, turned on the like, night-night voice.
How conscious of the voice are you?
I think because whenever I talk to my child, normally it goes high-pitched. It's that, like, Rosie, come here, blah, blah, blah. So it just happens as reflex now, where, like, depending on the situation and what she needs, it just goes there.
Right.
Because, I don't know, yeah, your kids have an amazing effect on your voice. And I feel like I don't talk like an adult. This is why I come here to this studio, is to talk like an adult for an hour.
For a bit. Yeah. I hear you on that one.
So, yeah, because when I'm at home, it just doesn't come out that way.
Well, we've been talking about voices a lot around the house,
actually. Have you guys decided to, like, try to, like, eliminate the baby talk and, like, start talking completely normally? Because I know that that's a thing.
Well, this was, you know, back to, like, conversations and parenting philosophy and all that kind of thing mm-hmm. that you have leading up to having children, but then also when they're here. We had a lot of conversations leading up to having our first child about, like, the types of parents we wanted to be. And some of that involved this voice talk and was a very conscious choice to try to not do a lot of the baby talk all the time. I mean, there's different situations
but
in which
so cute.
You're rolling around on the floor and it just kind of comes out. But, you know, I hear some of these parents, like, at the mall or at their little gym classes they take or whatever, where it's like sort of at, like, weird times where you don't need it.
Yeah.
And you can tell that they just do it all the time.
And it's habit.
That kind of freaks me out a little.
So,
but I find that I'm aware of my voice all the time. And I don't know if that's because I'm an actor.
Mm.
Probably a little bit, because you're aware of movement and tone and all those things.
Right.
But I'm aware of my voice all the time, and especially in the like low dad voice like that you were just doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also trying to have my wife become aware of her voice, but she's not an actor. Huh. And I cannot get her to be aware of her voice because she's trying to discipline and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, especially for the 4.5-year-old
because
he can understand timeouts and things now,
right.
And he's starting to be able to at least. And so she's trying to get him to whatever it is that she's trying to get him to do, clean up his toys or whatever it is. And he just will not listen. But then and I'll be trying to get him to do the thing, and I'm just talking normally, and he will not be listening. But the second I change into that dad voice,
mm-hmm.
then he pays attention. So I'm trying to tell her in these ongoing conversations that we have, hey, like, you have to be aware of your voice, because if you give him a little bit of a, like, lower and sharper, not meaner.
Yeah, just authoritative.
Not angry.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not like a – because she's like, I don't want to yell at him. And I'm like,
no,
it's not yelling at him. It's just a, hey –
yeah, it's not volume.
It's like a weight.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't know. She it's harder for her to flip into that.
Yeah.
And so that's been a conversation that we've been having mm-hmm. recently.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed, like, when you've tried to get into that tone, especially for your older, have they ever, like, not taken you seriously? like kind of called your bluff, not called your bluff, but been like, I don't think you mean that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. The other day, he was eating dinner, and dinner can sometimes be a struggle, which
oh,
we
boy.
Should get into at some point.
Yeah, that's point. A whole,
I'm
that's,
sure,
that's a 2-hour
listen,
special episode.
There's plenty of episodes, but dinner is a thing. And so I was trying to get him to eat his rice, and I was like, buddy, eat your rice. You know, like, come on. Everybody else is done. You know, if you want to go out and ride your bikes, which is a big reward right now,
because
we're learning the bike right now.
Nice.
So if you want to go out and do that after dinner, you got to eat a little bit of your rice.
You're not a clean the plate guy?
I don't prescribe to the clean your plate thing because I just don't want to create complexes around food or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do subscribe to the at least a bite. Like, try it.
You have to try
especially
it.
If it's something new.
Right, of course.
So I was like, buddy, you got to try some rice. Yeah, give it a bite, you know? And he's like, no. And I was like, hey, take a bite of your rice and we'll go outside and ride bikes. And I give him the serious tone. And he goes, he looks at me with a straight face and he goes, I don't think so.
Oh, no.
I mean, come on. What do the books say now?
No, nothing.
I
Jack
have no
squat.
Idea. He goes, and he said it in that exact tone. He goes, I don't think so.
Oh.
And I was like, first of all, where'd you get this vocabulary?
Uh-huh.
Second of all, where'd you get this attitude?
Where were
and
those
third,
eyebrows
like,
coming from?
What is up, dude?
So what did you do?
Well, I quickly put my hand over my mouth and tried to stop from laughing.
Yes.
I was biting
yep.
my fingers as hard as I could
yep.
to stop from laughing. My wife is over his shoulder behind him, so she's just like silently laughing,
yes.
which is then making me want to laugh. And then he notices that I'm laughing, so then now he's looking at me in the face, and he's like, I don't think so. And he's just like, makes a game out of it.
Yes.
And so I was just like, I was like, all right, hold on. First of all, you're hilarious. Second of all, thank you for your comedy. Third of all, can you eat some GD rice so we can go out and ride the bikes? I think I ended up putting like a grain of rice on the fork and he like licked it. And then we went outside and rode some bikes.
All right, compromise.
But I was just like, oh man, it's rough.
That's so funny.
So the voice doesn't work all the time.
Yeah.
But sometimes.
I'm still working on that. And I think because she also can't understand the words and we don't really have to use the voice that often. So she's just not used to it. But it's so funny. I have the exact parallel story to that at dinner because Rosie, she's getting a little bit challenging with food too.
Yeah.
And what it is more for her is that when she doesn't like something or she thinks that she's done, she starts throwing her food off the tray. So, or like taking her sippy cup and like just sliding it to the edge and just like looking at us to make sure that we're looking and then like tipping it over and letting it hit the floor. And that's when we break out the tone of like, Rosie, no, food stays on the tray. But then, so it becomes the exact same thing. Lennon and I, we're standing right next to each other trying to make this like united front.
Yeah.
We're both doing the tone, giving her the trying to give her the eyes, and she just looks at it like completely pan faced and just like one corner of her mouth just starts like and instantly we do the same, we both in perfect unison turned around, faced away. She could probably see our shoulders like heaving.
Yeah.
And we're trying to, like, you're trying to bite some part of your body to calm down.
Yep.
And then we like whisper, all right, so we're like, all right, turn back around. 1, 2, 3. And we both try to turn back around, but then we look at, she's still smiling. We turn back around and we start laughing again because she knows. She knows that she's got us.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
We can't, it's so hard to be serious. One, when they're so friggin' cute.
Yep.
And two, when they're just starting to get a little bit of that attitude.
I was putting him down. We trade off nights. Like, I'll take him one night, she takes the girl, and then I'll take the girl, she takes the boys. We switch off.
Yeah.
And so I'm in his room putting him to sleep. And we do the same routine every night. And and he gets a couple songs sung to him. And they're the same songs every time. And so we get to that point in the routine, and I go, and he like kind of, he like rolls over. We're both just laying in his bed. He's got bunk beds.
Oh, nice.
Oh, he's got bunk beds. He's a big boy. He's got bunk beds.
Is he a top bunk?
No. He's on the bottom bunk, and I haven't even built the ladder yet. So, like, the top bunk is all just, like, stuffed
storage,
animals and stuff right now. Like, it's all just toys.
So
and every once in a while, I'll throw him up there and then stand there and watch him up there, and he jumps around a little bit, and then I pull him back off.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's a whole different thing. But anyway, so we're laying there in his bed, and I'm putting him to sleep, and it comes to the point to sing the songs, and I go, all right, you ready to sing some songs? And he was turned away from me in the dark, and he goes, no, I'm good.
And you shattered.
What? I was like, what do you mean you're good? Like, again, like, where do you even learn that phrase?
Yeah.
No, I'm good. And then I was like, you don't want any songs? And he goes, just one. All right, fine. Whatever. He's getting that attitude, man.
Wow.
I don't know.
Or maybe, I mean, but that also could just be a sign that he's like working on his independence. And he's like, I don't need, you know, I'm a big boy now.
Yeah.
I don't need the routine as much.
He's
weaning himself off.
Like, I guess.
He's at the age where you're getting to that point where like he could just like read a book, a very simple book on his own. And then just be like, night.
I know. You're going to make me cry.
Oh, man. You're there. You're at that phase. You're about to start like. So that's the interesting thing. You're at the we're on opposite sides of it. You're at the phase where you're about to start letting go on certain things.
Ugh.
Like certain you're at the point where eventually within the next year or so it's going to be those like I'm never going to do that with my son again.
I know.
You know?
I know.
How wild is that?
I know. I know. We've already crossed a few of those bridges and again, that should be a whole nother episode, like starting to let go or whatever. So maybe we'll get into it on something else. But we've already crossed a few of those bridges and the points of no return.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting one. You'll be there. You'll see.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see how that goes.
Yep.
How often are you guys checking in on these parenting philosophies that you kind of set out to do?
I feel like we don't really have like moments where we sit down and say like, okay, how are we doing? I think it really is just kind of like a situational flying by the seat of your pants thing where like something will come up, we sit down and talk about it, get on the same page and move on.
Yeah.
Because I think we still have that overarching thing that we want to do with our kids. I don't think we made the wrong call at the beginning that we want them to be, you know, have boundaries and be free to make mistakes and learn, but also respect our authority and that we know what's best for them. But I think certain aspects of that are evolving where like part of it now is the social element for her. Like she's at the age where she's, you know, at the park or at the church nursery or at these places where she's with other babies her age or like with our, you know, kind of our neighbors and our community groups and stuff. And we're trying to encourage. That's a big push that we're making now is just getting her as social as possible. And that's actually something that Lennon and I talked about last night. Actually, was that she felt from a very young age that like one of her philosophies in life was that we are put on this earth to invest in other people and to build on relationships with the people around you. And I think that that is quite profound. You know.
plant trees that you will never see the shade of.
Wow, Brett.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, dude.
Mic drop. Yeah. If you were holding the mic, you should just drop it.
Somebody told me that one time, and I was like, I have no idea what that means. And then once they explained it, which is like, leave something for the next whatever. So invest in other people.
Right.
Because, you know. Yeah, yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I love that philosophy.
Yeah, and I think that she's right. I think that there's no satisfying life lived that was lived for yourself. And so that extends to how you parent and how you just give your all to your kids as well as your spouse.
It goes very nicely with my philosophy of, they're here, but I'm still me.
No. It's like you were saying the same thing, Brett. Oh, man. But I don't know. I think that's the new thing, is just wanting to have her care about other people.
Yeah.
And share and be generous and take turns. And like, that's something that, especially now where she's not super great with linguistics, like just something as simple as like, don't push kids down the slide when you want to go.
You know,
that's her thing now. Like, we take her to the park and she gets up on the slide, and if a kid takes more than 1 second to go down, she pushes them. And we tell her, like, no, don't, you can't do that. You have to wait your turn. She doesn't know what that means.
She turns back around. She goes, I don't think so.
I don't think so, because I know that you think that this is actually secretly adorable. Yeah. That's the other problem, too, is she'll do something that's not necessarily great, but it's so cute the first time that you react to it in a funny way. And then, you know, then it's all gone because she's learned that she knows that it's cute.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge. But, it evolves.
We're still trying to teach that kid the second language.
Yeah. and the musical instrument.
And the musical instrument. Yeah. I mean, but we keep checking in on it every once in a while. Like, are we ever going to teach him that? Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we'll get around to it.
Yeah. At some point. Everything is at some point.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, I think we covered it for this episode.
I don't think we covered anything.
Dude, we covered everything.